Shabbat Shalom. Our first original plan was to Rabbi David to speak, but he is still recovering. So this is why I'm playing guitar and now I'm speaking. And sometimes it's difficult to switch between playing guitar or instruments and speaking. So, but praise the Lord. I'm so glad and happy to see you in this place. How y'all doing? Yes. So today we will speak about very interesting subject. I will not say anything new, as usual, from the Torah, from the scriptures, but I believe it's very important to remind every time the spiritual truth to our lives. So please open with me chapter 9, Deuteronomy, book of Deuteronomy. Today's Torah portion is Kef, because... And I want to speak about the huge subject. I want to speak about conflict of world views. And you know me, I will not give your answers. I will just point you into the way where to go. But I want to take a few interesting things from here. One of the most striking stories showing this conflict is recorded in Deuteronomy, in the chapter 9. Why am I speaking about it? Because I believe, and I want to share this story, because I believe this story illustrates the battle inside every one of us in this place. Battle of worldviews, battle of spiritual things in our life. So, Deuteronomy chapter 9 from the verse 9. We will read two places, two verses, verse 9 and verse 12. So this is the Moses speaking to people of Israel. So he's saying them very interesting words here. When I went to the mountain to receive the tablets of stone Adonai cut with you, I stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. I did not eat bread or drink water. I have a question here. Who had the same experience? Yeah, but I mean, here. Try, yeah. Who had the longest fast of all? Like 2 weeks. Okay, don't raise your arm. So, I'm agree for 40 days without food, but no drinks for 40 days. So, something happened here. Something spiritual happens. The Lord called Moses to give him Torah. And he was for 40 days praying, fasting. It was his spiritual battle for the people of Israel. He was fasting not for himself. It was not his needs or his troubles or his problems. He took fast for the people of Israel. This is very important to remember. He was in love with the Lord and with his people. He loved them so deeply. I believe only heart full of love could do it. 40 days of fasting, praying, seeking for the face of the Lord. And let's read verse 12. So this is one worldview. Looking for the Lord, fighting Him, fighting for Him. And the second, verse 12. Adonai said to me, get up, go quickly down from here, for your people, I like this word, your people. Can you see here? The Moses was in very hard position. The people said, your God, and the Lord said, your people. So it's your job. For your people, they have quickly turned out of the way I commanded them. They have made a molten image for themselves. Do you see picture here? Two different worldviews, completely different lives, completely different universes here. One, the Moses on the mountain praying for them, fasting for them. And the second part, they have party there. For the same 40 days, they drink, they drunk, they eat something, they doing the every evil stuff they could only possible do to irritate the Lord. So for 40 days Moses had fasted and prayed, humbling himself before the Lord. His goal was to find the Lord's will for Israel, to receive his Torah and vision for the future of Israel. This was his goal. He prayed to the Lord, "Lord, show me the way. How to lead your people? What do you want to tell them? What do you want to show us?" But the rest of Israel had sinned and perverted those same 40 days, making a golden idol to replace the true God of Israel. Why I'm reading it? Because I think from the scriptures, in the same in our lives, the same. One part of us going to the mountain to pray and to fast, to looking for the Lord. But the other part, always tempted to build a golden calf. Always. This is a spiritual battle. We can find this description in the scriptures in many places of the Brit HaDashah and all other places. One part of us is looking for the Lord. I'm not sure about every one of us. Maybe somebody don't have any temptation here. Maybe you're so clear in your mind. Maybe you're perfect. If you're perfect, please raise your hand. I know you, you're not perfect. This is reality for each of us. We have these battles inside of us every day of our life. And this picture, it's beautiful picture. It's a strong picture for us. For Israelites, one of the reasons could be because of their different past and life experiences. They were slaves. He was raised in the house of Pharaoh. He was the prince. They came from different backgrounds, and because of it, had different worldviews, of course. This could be one of the reasons, but not all the reasons, only one of the reasons. Moses and the people of Israel had a completely different perception of spiritual life, a completely different awareness of God and his plans and purposes for them. So Moses understood the way of the Lord one way. These guys, they had completely different idea about the Lord, about the commandments, about everything. They were always tempted. Even though they were in the same desert, at the same time, around the same mountain, facing the same circumstances, yet their reactions and their solutions were radically different. So I want to draw a picture here. They were at the same time, the same place, with the same situation in their life. But one part going to the Lord, another part looking for another solutions. While Moses was in prayer, seeking God's direction, the people were corrupt and building an idol to a false god. And this is a great example for us. How strong faith of Moses, like the rock, but how feeble, how fleeting was the faith of the people of Israel. And one of the answers why it happened, I believe, because they having the different worldviews about the Lord, different scale of, everything different from spiritual life. So I want to read from the New Testament, Brit HaDashah. Rabbi Shaul in the Romans chapter 7, please open with me, from the verse 23. Rabbi Shaul, or Apostle Paul, gives us a great example of the battle, spiritual battle. He's speaking about his own struggle. He had the same struggles in his life. So in the chapter 7, Romans, from the verse 23, actually, this is very important place of scripture for each of us. We need to understand, need to remember, every one of us, we have same battles. Is no perfect person in this place. We all tempted to do something wrong or go in the wrong direction. So Rabbi Shaul speaking here from the verse 23. But I see a different law in my body parts, battling against the law of my mind and bringing me into bondage under the law of sin. Do you see picture here? So battle inside of him. And verse 24, he's crying to the Lord, he's crying to Romans, he's trying to bring this message to us. Miserable man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? And I want to leave you here, and later we will read next verses and chapter 8. This will be the answer for us. But for now, I can hear your question. If Rabbi Shaul was so distressed by this conflict within himself, how can I even maintain a strong faith? How can I walk with the Lord? And I want to read few commandments from the Moses, how he is commanded to deal with it in the Torah portion. So let's open Deuteronomy chapter 9. Let's go back here. The first important thing to remember, from the verse 5, the Moses speaking to Israel, and he is always straight with them. They were always straight with him, and he was always straight with them. He's not hiding anything, he's speaking truth. And I want to ask, who likes to hear the strong, difficult words in your life when somebody is correcting you? Okay, who likes to hear the nice and always encouraging things? You are so good, you're so beautiful. I mean, you're the best of the best. I like it, actually. We're together. And here, the Moses speaking to Israel. He's telling them truth. And, you know, of course, they would like to read it this way. Because you are so beautiful, you are so righteousness, you are so truth, your heart is so upright, you will enter the land. But Moses speaking here. No, I don't read it from the scriptures. I'm just joking here. Stop. Open Bibles. Be with me. Look here from the verse 5. The Moses reminding them, it is not because of your righteousness. Let's say together, not because. Or because your heart is so upright that you go in to take possession of their land. Adonai swore to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Therefore, understand, second time, that it is not for your righteousness that Adonai your God is giving you this good land to possess. Wow. This is so important to remember. Not because of your righteousness, not because of your goodness or your completion or your gifts or your charisma, you're going to possess this land. No, your righteousness is not enough. And the fact it's that we are all tempted to consider victories and successes as our own personal achievement. If something good, of course, it's me. It's my gifts. It's my righteousness. It's me. But if things seem not go so well, who then is responsible for our failures and defeats? In the case of Israel, it was Moses always. Someone else, of course, certainly not us. And Moses, he knew the truth, and he knew from the Lord that once the nation of Israel had conquered the land, they would think it to be the result of their own qualities, gifts, charisma, and righteousness. So, and he telling them, don't think about yourself. It's not because of you. It's because of the Lord. His mercy, His love, His graciousness to you. You are entering the land, promised land. This is very important to remember. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17. You will think to yourself, Adonai your God, because it is He who is giving you the power to get wealth, in order to confirm His covenant, which He swore to your ancestors. I want to stop here for one moment. And I want to speak to our hearts. We have faith. We have peace in our hearts, forgiveness and righteousness. And we need to understand and remember, it is not our gain. This is because of the Lord helping us. And He enables us to be support to each other. Our success is only because of the Lord and His call to our life. He called us, justified us, and glorified us. Only because of Him. Romans chapter 8. We need to remember this place and memorize it for us. The verse 30. Next time when you will stand before mirror, you will see in the beautiful picture there. And please remember this verse. It's need to be remembered for us. If you will face some problems, difficulties, or will struggle with something, remember to yourself. From the verse 30. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. He is the starting point of our faith. He is the starting point of our righteousness. Yeshua is our righteousness. It is His mercy and His love that led Israel to victory. Not their perfection or their ability, but simply His love for them. He loved them and He called them. And He brought them to the land, to the promised land. It is because of His righteousness that we have mercy and forgiveness. And thanks God, thanks to God's love that we are here in this place. Because of Him. The righteousness given to us by the Messiah is our foundation for our life. This is the beginning of everything. Let's say together, foundation. I want to ask you something. Can you tell to somebody near you, I'm glad you're in this place. I'm glad you're in this place. I'm glad. I'm happy. More than glad. And this is because of righteousness of Messiah. Righteousness of Messiah. Actually, this understanding is bringing freedom, great freedom to our life. We can build our life not according to our own righteousness, self-righteousness, but we can build our faith and life and joy and everything spiritual based upon Yeshua's righteousness, upon His sacrifice. Not our sacrifice. Our sacrifice so poor, so poor. So Rabbi Shaul has painted a beautiful picture of how this truth is actually working today. And I want to read the Romans chapter 7 from this point I left you in before, verse 24. And I want to continue to the chapter 8. And do you know that originally, scriptures doesn't have the chapters? Who knew this? Of course, it helps us to find place when we send Romans 8:10. You just can you imagine the old times? But in the same way, sometimes we are ending in the same chapter without even looking the next chapter. But the Paul, he's speaking to the Romans, and he's painting beautiful picture. The verse 24, miserable man that I am, he's crying, because it's constant battle inside of him. Two parts, one part going to the Lord, another part holding him from pursuing in faith. Who will rescue me from this body of death? thanks be to God. It is through Messiah Yeshua our Lord. So then, with my mind I myself serve the Torah of God, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. But don't stop here. Let's read the chapter 8. Okay? Let's go. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Messiah Yeshua. Freedom through Messiah Yeshua, through His sacrifice, through His blood, through His righteousness. This is foundation for our spiritual life. I remember when I understood it in my life, it's changed completely everything. It changed my way, how I pray to the Lord, how I communicate with the people. It changed my ministry. It changed my whole spiritual life. When I understood, I built my life upon the rock of my salvation. And the rock of my salvation, His name of Yeshua, or the Yeshua, the Messiah. Let's read continuously. For the law of the Spirit of life in Messiah Yeshua has set you free from the law of sin and death. For that was impossible for the Torah, since it was weakened on account of the flesh, God has done, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as a sin offering, He condemned sin in the flesh. Amen. So, Rabbi Shaul, he is teaching us, so we have answer to this question in the fact that Yeshua freed us from condemnation by His work of redemption. And later in the chapter, the verses later, he's crying, if the Lord is for us, who can be against us? Let's say together, if the Lord is for me, who can be against me? Because it's no condemnation in the Messiah Yeshua. And by the Spirit of the Lord, He has freed us from the law of sin and death. We have ability to choose right side. We have ability to go to the mountain because we have the Spirit of the Lord. And if you read the chapter 8, you will find there a place where Apostle Paul, Rabbi Shaul, speaking about Holy Spirit inside of us. He's enabled us to worship the Lord, to give our praise to the Lord. He's enabled us to be strong in faith, to go up to the mountain of the Lord. Amen. Because of the power of the Holy Spirit. From this understanding, our hearts are filled with gratitude for the mercy given to us, and the peace of God fills us. And I want to stop here for just a moment, because people who build their faith upon their self-righteousness, actually it's miserable life to start again over and over. After each time you done something wrong, you're miserable again. You need to start over. But when you build upon the Yeshua's righteousness, you have faith, you have foundation. What an amazing liberation. What freedom to realize that your forgiveness does not depend on your own perfection, your own goodness, that is not built on your own righteousness, but that it stands firmly on the righteousness of Yeshua, the only truly righteous man to ever walk this earth. The Lord, the Savior, the Lord of our lives. I like these verses of poetry. I'm sorry for my pronunciation, but it's perfect British pronunciation. Accept it like this. Once I was bound by sin galling fetters, chained like a slave, I struggled in vain. But I received a glorious freedom. Yeshua broke my fetters in twain. Glorious freedom, wonderful freedom. No more in chains of sin are a pain. Yeshua, the glorious emancipator, now and forever, he shall be mine. Amen. We need to know beyond all doubts that Messiah has forgiven us and that we are justified by his sacrifice. And then, having been forgiven and justified, we can now live in freedom to walk in the way of God. And the second path I want to show from the scripture, the same Torah portion, after Moses explaining them about their position before the Lord, their humbleness, you should be humble, you should receive his righteousness and be in his righteousness. He's explaining them way to go, how to grow in faith. And I want to bring the Hebrew word Torah. It's mistakenly understood by many believers to be only a book of laws, it's all. For some believers, the Torah, it means law, you know, commandments, it's all. But in fact, the Torah means so much more. First of all, it means instructions. Let's say together, instructions. The second meaning of Torah is the way of teaching, the pattern for our living. So the Torah is living, it's the way. It's leading us somewhere. It's showing us the way, how and where to go. It's important to know. So Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 10 from the verse 12, he is speaking to Israel. He is giving them a way to go. He's showing them example where to go. From the verse 12, Deuteronomy chapter 10. So now, O Israel, what Adonai your God need of you? Good question. What do you think? Do you want to know what? This is the answer. But to fear Adonai your God, to walk in all his ways and love him, and to serve Adonai your God with all your heart and with all your soul, to keep the mitzvot of Adonai and his statutes that I am commanding you today for your own good. So this is the way to go. Let's say together, fear Adonai, walk in his way, love him, serve him with all your heart, keep his commandments. So this is the path for us. And I want to tell you, in the end of our days, everything else will lose its meaning. All successes will be contained in these few words from the Lord. Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a little, so I'll put you in charge of much. Enter into your master's joy. I want to hear this voice and these words. This is my heart for it. I hope you too. Nobody wants to hear the voice like, go away from me. No. We want to hear the voice, listen to the voice. Good. Good job. You did great. You feared me. You walked in my ways. You loved me. You served me with all your heart. You kept my commandments. We need to hear this. And in the conclusion, I want to mention here, I don't have time to read, one of the great explanations of spiritual battle we can find in the Matthew chapter 13. Yeshua giving the proverb, parable, about a man who spread some seeds. You know this parable, very famous parable. And you know the explanation of this. It's four different type of soil. One soil, people who will ignore the words of the Lord because they don't have time. They're so busy. It's not for me, not yet, tomorrow. You know, I like this word, tomorrow. Will you do it? Tomorrow. The second type of soul, the people who will embrace faith but will not build the relationship with the Lord, don't go deeply. And they just, you know, they faith for season. very short period of faith. And other people, they are build their faith, they are so good, but they're so busy because it's America. We have so many things to do, you know, so many. We're responsible for everyone, even for sun to raise in the morning. And when some problems or some business or something happen, the people are so busy to even remember about the Lord. And only fourth soil are good soil, is good soil. The people who embrace faith, who dig, who take care about this seed, and they bring fruits 100 times, 60 times, and 30 times. And we are called to be fruitful. Let's say it together, called to be fruitful. In the end, I want to read conclusions I want to for us to think about. When we became part of the Messianic community, we experienced dramatic changes. Our life is profoundly affected. We now live according to the new values that we did not recognize before. Like Ruth, and I'm speaking not only for the non-Jewish people, but also for the Jewish people, we need to came back to faith of Abraham. It's our goal to find the faith of Abraham. Like Ruth, the Moabites, who said, "Your God shall be my God, and your people my people." We are entering a completely new life, accepting the values of God's people and the new way of life. For all who come into the Messianic community, this is truth. Once we were blind, now we can see. Once we did not understand the value of the Shabbat and its meaning, now we have learned to accept and appreciate this holiday for the blessing that it is for us. Once we did not care which holiday to celebrate, now we see value of and instructions in God's feasts given to the people. Once we did not understand the value of Hebrew, now we realize the importance of this powerful and beautiful language through which the Lord has chosen to instruct us. Once we did not realize the importance of sharing good news with the Jewish people, and now we understand it. First to the Jewish people. Once we did not understand the value of Torah, now we appreciate and thank God for such a solid foundation He laid for us in Torah and for His instructions, pointing us to a living relationship with the Most High God. Each of these new understandings strengthens our Messianic calling. It is extremely valuable to us and to the Lord because it helps us to produce fruit that is pleasing to Him. Amen. I want to finish here and I want to pray. And as usual I do, if you are here for first time or you never accepted Yeshua in your heart, this is message for you. Remember, not because of your righteousness you are entering the promised land, but because of the righteousness of the Messiah. If you don't know yet Messiah as your personal Savior, please pray for me. This is the time for you to come to Him, to get right with the Lord through His death and His resurrection. I want to pray. So if you need to get right with the Lord, pray with me. Avinu Shebashamayim, our Heavenly Father, Lord of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I come into you Beshem Yeshua HaMashiach and ask, please forgive all my sins. Cleanse me from all my iniquities, Lord. I believe with all my heart that Yeshua is the Messiah. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. And I pray it Beshem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Amen. So let's close the service with the Aaronic benediction. Welcome to be together. Don't stay alone. This is the special moment for us.
So you're all together as family. Please let this prayer envelop you in peace. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant each and every one of you his peace. Yivarechach Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav alecha v'yachunecha. Yisa Adonai panav alecha v'yishem lecha. Shalom. God bless you.
Shabbat shalom. And please don't forget your children waiting for you. Pick them. And you're welcome to go to Shalom Center to have coffee. Shabbat shalom.